This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this October 1st, 2024. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And folks, tonight our producer, right now he's all worked up. He's been watching this debate, and he's itching. He wants to give Tampon Timmy a whipping. He'd like to yank him out and just give him a whipping for not telling the truth. And that's our producer's style. Hey, style.
Hey, you took all the words right out of my mouth.
I know. Listen, I'd love to give him a. Couldn't you imagine stepping into an elevator, being the only one in there with Tampon Timmy? I guarantee you what Tampon Timmy would do, there'd be a puddle of water. He'd wet his pants. He comes close, face to face with a man, he'd wet his pants. Especially if that was none other than the notorious Pastor Joe Larson.
Oh, I would just want to tell him how the Lord said, you know, something about shall not, cannot, will not, must not shed innocent blood, you dumb... You know, person, you simple-minded person who does not understand the Word of God. You start there, and then it get worse, I guess.
Tampon Timmy Walls is a man totally void. He's totally void of any honor, any decency, any integrity. A man totally...
He memorizes lies. Women's health care. Women's health care. Murder is not women's health care. Never will be. Can't happen.
A man totally unprincipled. He is a pathological liar. He is a disgusting coward that allowed numerous babies, innocent little babies that survived the cruel death of abortion, to be abandoned, left to suffer and to die all alone. This animal quoted Matthew chapter 25. Well, Tampon Timmy, you need to go back and read Matthew chapter 25 very slowly. Because it speaks of that burning lake of fire that cowardly little pro-pedophile men like yourselves will burn in forever. And that's my commentary. That man is disgusting.
Yeah.
Totally disgusting. And, you know, again, you know,
Well, it's such a expect from a liberal progressive that's, you know, basically nothing but a socialist. I mean, that you really can't expect anything else, can you?
Well, he's known there by as many to be a pedophile and as so many now as we, which you and I have been talking about for a long time, Joe, about the elite in the Democratic Communist Party. They are just flush with pedophiles, and this film that's out now called On Treason, boy, I'm going to tell you, it is really, really, really powerful. People really need to see that. And so that's that film that was put out by, what is he, J.J. Carroll. He created that, Treason and Trafficked. And, wow, it goes into 2 hours. It shows you, it documents all the pedophilia, documents how Bill Clinton, Epstein's Island, all the children, Hillary, just unbelievable. But the entire Democratic Communist Party, all the elite. When I go through out here, Pepper Pike, when I go through Chagrin Falls, where so many of these wealthy people live, you see the Harris Walls signs in their yard. You can pretty much bet that there lives a pedophile right there. And so, anyhow, that's the way I feel about it.
Gee, and, maybe someday you tell us how you really feel, huh?
Well, there's no integrity out there. There's no honor. I'm going to write maybe a little commentary on watching these unclean, very unclean, completely unclean women promoting these abortion commercials. I'm going to write a little commentary on this because, you see, God's word, Joe, is filled with absolutes. I mean, from the beginning to the end, okay, God is the absolute authority. And these people just don't get it, okay? And they somehow, if there's popular opinion polls, or if the media says, then God's going to have to change his ways, okay? Or if he doesn't change his ways, then just people will pay no attention to him. Well, they're in for
it. You know what happened to nations and people who paid no attention to God? There's a place called the Lake of Fire that probably wish they hadn't been sent to.
Well, the Bible tells you all nations that hate God love death. They love abortion. All nations that love abortion, all pro-abortion nations, these people that are out there to say, well, now I do go to church, but I'm pro-choice. Those people are going to burn in hell. God says to them. God says.
Death, they're going to spend an eternity understanding the living death of the lake of fire.
Right. And so they just don't get it, okay, that when God says something, it's not up for a vote.
No, it's not debatable. It's an eternal fact.
Well, and that's what I think I'm going to be preaching on this week. I think we really need to hear that. But anyhow, meanwhile, we've got God's plan for the eternal salvation for those who chose him. What is that's a definition for what word?
Predestination.
Absolutely. And we pick it up where we left off here in Ephesians. Or no, Isaiah chapter 40.
Isaiah 40, I believe.
Yeah, verses 10 through 17.
Okay, you want to read them all or a few?
Let's go a verse at a time. Go ahead. Start with verse 10.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Okay, now, so he now makes a statement that gives you an indication of what period that he's coming in, okay? So
no,
he's coming.
Saying Christ is coming. God is, coming God in Christ.
Okay, but now this is a specific time because it's the end of the tribulation, it's the millennial kingdom, and when he's coming now, this is the nation of Israel he's addressing here. He ushers in the seventh dispensation, which is the millennial kingdom, and go ahead and read the next verse.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Okay, so now during that millennial kingdom, you're going to have a lion laying down next to a lamb, right?
Mm-hmm.
A bear laying down next to a cow. And
Israel will have a rebirth, right? Will be really brought back to its proper role in the world.
Right. A little child will reach into an adder's nest and not be bitten. Okay. And so, and people that are born on the first day of that, those that do not sin against God, that are born on the very first day, will live 1,000 years to the last day, won't they?
That's what God says, and he doesn't lie, can't lie.
All righty. So now he goes on to go ahead and read the next verse, verse 12.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven and the span, and that comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance.
So here, now, that's referring to physical geographical features, which is referring to when he's talking about, they call geophysics. But here it's an interesting thing, because when he said, meted out the heavens with a span, if you turn over, okay, and read verse 26. Read verse 26.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth.
So he names all the stars. God has a name for all of the stars out there, and who knows how many there are, okay? He says...
above my pay grade.
Yeah. Now, if you read this next verse and you think about 1 Corinthians 2:16, this is, you'll see that the Apostle Paul quotes this verse there in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him. And so, in other words, who can teach God? Who can advise the Spirit of God? Who can direct God? Who can, well, wait a minute, there's what, Jesse, what's his name? DePlantis.
Just, God comes to him for advice. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He stood up there in front of all those people and said that the Lord Jesus has come to him for advice.
And he wasn't laughed off the stage, right?
No, some woman.
Whatever he was on.
Some woman asked what he needed advice on, you know. I mean, Jesse's up there, and these people. Boy, I tell you, what did Barnum say? There's one born every second?
Yeah, sucker born every second. Yeah,
right.
Or whatever.
These are the simple-minded. The prosperity preachers play off their greed. And Jesse DePlantis said one day, while he was there in his office, I heard a noise, and he looked, and it was Jesus. Jesus came in and said that he was sorrowful. He was just grieving, and Jesse said, I loved up on him a little bit, hugged him, and counseled with him, okay?
That's almost worse than blasphemy, isn't it?
That is blasphemy.
I mean, it is, but it, in a way, it's thicker than somebody trying to be mean, cruel, or whatever. I mean, that is just so, in a way, sickening.
Well, it's his way of saying, you fools, you people will believe. You know, and
you believe that, you'll believe anything, boy.
But
when
these prosperity preachers, they get together and they sit and they laugh at the stupidity of people. Okay, they laugh and they mock them. You know how these people—it's not our fault.
They're that dumb. They deserve to get taken, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the same thing a con man says. Well, I guess there's about the same difference.
Well, they are.
They are. It's con men, right?
They're the worst kind of con men, the very worst kind of con men. He goes on, with whom took he counsel, whom he instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding. In other words, here it's referring to God's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, all-powerful, okay? The word is used only one time in all the Bible. That word's potentate.
Potentate, right.
And that means the ultimate power, the ultimate intelligence, the ultimate individual. And that is God, that there could be none, you know, that's as powerful, as intelligent, as omniscient as you could possibly be. That's what God is. There is none.
Well, you got verse 13 and 14, who hath directed, with whom took he counsel? None but God. I mean, the only counselor he has is himself. None but himself is really what it should say, right?
That's true, but within that you have the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Holy Spirit, right. But that, in that sense, when you say the word God, you're referring to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He has himself, the three aspects of himself, but he alone is the counselor.
Well, it's like with us, okay, we are triune beings, just like the triune God. He made us in his image. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. Now, if you were to take away, say, the spirit, would we still be a human?
In the flesh, yes.
No, you wouldn't be. With a body and a soul, you would still not be all human.
Okay.
If you took away the soul, you would still not be all human.
You're
you see,
human. Oh, I see.
In order to be a human, okay, unless you're a Democrat, and then you might not be a human anyhow. But anyhow, if you took away any part of that, you'd be less than a human. And you see, with the Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It takes the three of them. They become the Godhead, the one God, and three persons, and within the Godhead. That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. Well, then let's go to verse 15. Read verse 15.
Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing.
Well, here now, this is where we get, you know, this old cliche, if you will, a drop in a bucket, that's just a drop. This is where it comes from, it's right here.
And drop what in a bucket.
Okay, so what is he saying? He's saying, look, if there was no nations, if you took away all of these nations, they ceased to exist, if every person on this planet ceased to exist, how would that affect God?
It really wouldn't be like a tiny drop of water or sand in a large bucket. It really would not be noticed.
But now, if God ceased to exist, how would that affect the nations?
Well, if God ceased to be existing, then everything probably would self-destruct and be no more. So it would affect everything in the universe.
Right. Now,
because Scripture said, by him and through him, all things in heaven and earth consist. They keep on going because of him.
Right, and so here, what he's saying, these great nations, and I think we told the story about the Chaldeans. Did we talk about that last night? In Habakkuk? Okay, in Habakkuk, remember when the Chaldeans, they challenged God, right? Here, this ferocious army, this great army that had just gone on, and they had ravished, and they had made war against all of these smaller kingdoms, and they were treasonous. They were very treasonous. They would go to King Smith and say, listen, let's you and I form a confederacy against King Jones, and we'll go and together. Well, Smith would be too afraid to tell him no, but what would happen is, as soon as Smith's army come out of his kingdom, the Chaldeans would have their people waiting to go in, and rob and pillage. They would betray people, and they were just as evil as evil. But they were mighty. They were a mighty, mighty army. And the scriptures refers to them as being swifter than what leopards are, and faster. And so what happens is one day the Lord told Habakkuk, go out there and post. I want you to post all over the land here. At this time, at this place here in the valley, I, God, am going to destroy the Chaldeans. So he went and posted it all over. And so when the Chaldeans, they gathered us, they were going to, this God of Israel, there is no power bigger than us, we, than this army. We are the conquerors. We are gods, right?
Right.
So they gathered there in the valley, and all the nations that they had made war against and pillaged and robbed and killed, they came out to see this battle. See, because the God of Israel had a reputation, and his reputation was getting his way, okay? His reputation was that he had no enemies, that he could, he had nothing to worry about. Right. And so all these nations gathered up around the mountains as they watched the huge Chaldean army in the valley. And when they got all around, they realized something. Wait a minute, we're more in number than they are. And those are the people that robbed and stole and pillaged us right there, those kings.
Right.
That,
there they are.
And so God never had to say a word, did he?
No, they turned on the Chaldeans and destroyed them.
Yep. And, you know, God does things like that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He works in what all those scriptures says, works in mysterious ways. But that was like, in a way, the people realizing they had strength in numbers. If they got together with unity, came together, he was really teaching mankind a great lesson.
Remember what he told Gideon? Got too many people there. Gideon, well, yeah, wait a minute. Holy, there's 40-something thousand of them. Don't worry about it, Gideon. 300 will do. And so what happens? He put Gideon and his armies up on the mountains surrounding, and he turned the enemy turned upon each other. They panicked, and they were he brought delusion, confusion, and they went and they fought and killed each other down there. Old Gideon, all he had to do was sit up there and watch, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll be obedient. He had to be obedient.
Yep. God demands that, doesn't he?
Yes, that's the first commandment in that sense of be obedient, you know, if you want victory. You know,
right.
When God tells you you're to be obedient, follow instructions, and it'll work out well.
So these people like George Soros, that says he's a god, and the others, they're not, it's counted to him than less than nothing and vanity, verse 17, right?
Yeah, so, well, he's going to have an eternity to contemplate why he opened his big mouth and said something like that.
Yeah, he's going to find out very shortly that he's not a god at all, huh?
Yeah, he will definitely understand. He's getting older, so it won't be long before he goes home. Where his home is.
Many have found out they weren't gods. Herod the Magnificent found out that he wasn't any god, huh?
Yeah, he had a lesson on different types of grasses.
Ethelbaal.
How they tasted.
Ethelbaal. Ethelbaal, he said he was a god. He looked down upon his from his mountain, where you know he had, where the he controlled the waterways, controlled the trafficking, everything, and he said, "I am a god." God was,
you know, I'm kind of smart. I figured this out. No, he had to just really push it, right?
Well, God was listening to that, and he says, "Oh, wait a minute here. Say this again here." Well, in fact, I think let me go over to Ezekiel, and that's a very good one to look at in Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll read here where he says to him, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, that's Ethelbaal.
Right.
And he was He was Hillary, Jezebel's nephew. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I said, in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man. Now God chides him. Here's one of the few places in the Bible where you see God chiding someone. He says,
yeah.
In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not a god. Thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, now here he's chides him. Thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can hide from thee.
He's making no chides. He's making fun of. I mean, really.
Right. He says, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches, and thou hast gotten gold and silver on the treasury. He's chiding them here. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, and he's talking about human trafficking,
right.
Thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thine has set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. You know who that was? Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar, yeah.
And they should draw their swords. See, he was actually there at the time of Daniel. They will draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Okay. Anyhow, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify? Done one thing you said you'd do, but even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember in November as I step into the little booth. I'll remember. I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too.
All righty, to vote for anyone but Camelot, Camel Moloch, and Tampon Timmy. There you go. We're back. Oh,
yeah, couldn't dare use Temp on Tim during a debate. They would they cut the mic whenever, you know, he was going to say something intelligent, right?
Yeah, well, again, like I said, this guy lied and he lied. And, again, I'll say one thing for Vance. He did say, with me, they would have stopped that right away because, you know, we take, you know, a non-compromise. We really, truly believe the Word of God. See, we really do. I mean, for real, believe the Word of God. And, you know, if you do that, when it comes to baby killing, abortion, first of all, you know, I would have never used, as Vance used the word, terminated the pregnancy. No, I would have said they killed the baby.
Right.
You see?
They murdered the baby, killed the baby. Any of those would have been appropriate.
We have such a lower standard today, even amongst the highest, they have such a lower standard where it comes to integrity and you know, just pure decency. There's unbelievable, and this well, I'm going to do a commentary on. And, you know, these commercials that they're running, these pro-abortion commercials, they have these wicked, unclean. God, see, if you and I say they're unclean, it doesn't mean that much, you know. But when God says you're unclean, you're unclean. And these women, God's Word in the Bible refers to them as unclean women, those that are...
But you and I don't call them that. We make it a point that God has called them unclean. That's why we can do it.
Well, that's why we do it, okay?
Right, that's why we do it, because he said it, and we are, you know, his messengers.
Jeremiah 2:43 refers to, he said, their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. And what is their excuse? They say to God, we didn't do anything wrong. What we did, we were allowed to do it. Therefore, we're innocent. And God said, no, you ain't innocent at all, okay? So these are wicked women, and they got no idea what they're doing when they're out there. The Bible says, all of those that hate God love death.
What was it? Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, they're in for a rude awakening. Like, you know, Tampon Timmy quoted Matthew 25. I could not believe he did that, you know. But then they said, yeah, these people, the hypocrisy, you know, there's no limit to their hypocrisy, is there?
None.
And so, but anyhow, I got to make an announcement. That is, Life Chain, this is Life Chain, Week for Life Chain. And I'm just going to give this all across America this coming Sunday, the first Sunday in October. You'll have Life Chain. It'll be from coast to coast, from the North Coast to the South Coast to the East to the West. And here in our area, I'm just going to give a couple right here in our area, and that's in Geauga and Lake Counties in Northeast Ohio. Because they're on the same road. They're just 20 miles apart. But in Geauga County, at from 1:30 to 2:30, in Geauga County, Life Chain will be at the corner of Route 322, Mayfield Road, and Route 306. That's this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, and that's the 6th of October. Life Chain, we're out there every year. We've been out there for many years. From 1:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon, we'll be at Route 306 and Route 322. And then at the very same time, 20 miles north, at a Route 306 and Route 20, the Lake County Life Chain will take place. Now, they have many times the population of Geauga County, so there should be many times more people out there, wouldn't you think?
You would think, but that doesn't usually mean anything.
Yeah. Well, every year we do have a good turnout for Life Chain, and this is why we're going to continue to promote it every year. So, in the debate, did you watch any of the debate? I know.
Bits and pieces of it. I was trying to get some last-minute things put together for the show.
But, let's have
again. The liberals lied. The moderators, where it was like debating three against one, and it was. But I thought Vance held his own pretty well against all of the assaults. I mean, there were so many lies. My wife turned and said, you know, in his rebuttal time, he can't counter all the lies that were told. So, you know, They've done the truth just enough to make it complicated that the explanation of why that's a lie would take too long to get across. And it's a technique they use. They use it well. But it's one of those of deceit, and it just shows what kind of people they are. That kind of tactic is not something that a righteous person does or uses. And I notice Vance did not use that back, did not fight that way. He tried to fight with the truth.
I would have had those two females would have fallen off their chairs because when it comes to abortion, I would have just given, here's what God has said. Watch, and when you do that, you ought to see the look on their face. They just,
they'd have cut your mic so fast, you wouldn't have known what happened.
Yeah, but
you started with that is mer. You'd gotten about that far, and your mic had been cut.
And Tampon Timmy, of course, you know these people, all those that hate God, love death, and The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. He hates the hands of those that shed innocent blood. And I would have told him, you women there, you promote child killing. God hates you. Did you know that? And, how could he do that? Don't he know what kind of positions we hold, right? that's the mindset that those people have. But God hates, and I would have told Tampon Timmy, God hates lying lips. God hates the lips of those lying lips, okay? And it makes it very clear. And so it would have been an interesting debate if I'd have been there, because their hair would have been on fire. The one thing they can't handle, and that's the truth. They cannot handle the truth. But let's go to and get an expert opinion on all of this from none other than Style. Go ahead, Style. Tell us what you think.
You have to give me 1 minute here. I'm trying to build around the other station because they're going over with coverage on the debate right now.
Oh, okay. Very good.
He's actually having to work for his paycheck tonight.
I've got some comments I'll be back with a little bit later.
He's going to come back with a little later. I think he's still watching. How long is that debate going?
I heard 10:30 and then I heard 11. We're figuring out right now with the program schedule.
Oh, my gosh. It's still going. I guess so. Anyhow, probably...
For ratings, I don't know if it's going to really have any effect on the actual election, but who knows?
No, it won't, because what you saw up there with Tampon Tim, that's... They don't talk about all the little babies that were left to die after they were aborted. They don't talk about putting... You notice they never talked about putting tampon machines, at least the parts of it I saw,
they weren't going to allow that out
in the boys' bathrooms. No, well, they don't have to, but he could have answered. I would have brought it up. You could work it in into the conversation there, into the debate. But anyhow, let's get into. We have a number of articles.
But
and things.
You and I are known for being blunt, stirring up trouble, not caring what happens after we shoot off our mouth. So it's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, I look
We're
at it this way.
We're not running for office. We're here because God said, "Be watchmen on the wall and preach and teach my doctrine," and that's what we're doing. And He didn't say worry about the political side of it, worry about the election. He just said, "Do it."
Well, he said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Be a watchman on the wall. Go out there and warn the people. Tell them, preach my word. Preach my word. Warn the people. And tell them that I demand obedience and the consequences of disobedience. And that's what we do here every day.
Exactly. And that's why neither one of us would ever get elected.
No, you're right. That because the country has deteriorated to such a degree, it's just unbelievable. Morally, ethically, the standards have been so reduced. The standards have been so reduced. It's unbelievable out there today, and such a dearth of courage in the pulpits. when I was watching this, J.J. Carroll, he really went into, in that film, about the beta male, these pastors that are that have no courage, these pastors that have that just want to stay comfortable in a cushy job and not, you know, not rile the people, not overturn the apple cart, just get by, get a paycheck. Unbelievable. But he's right, and there's such a dearth of courage, such a dearth of courage from the pulpits. I'm telling you, it's disgusting. So now, after saying that, what's happening in Israel? Is Israel retaliating against Iran?
Not yet, but they will. They are definitely going to. They've made it very clear. And they've made it clear that what they do is going to hurt big time. So the world is kind of holding its bated breath. And I think Iran is nervous now because they... one of the reports I saw, oh, well, okay, we fired back. We got retaliation for you killing our people. So we're even, Stephen, and it's kind of like they're saying, okay, don't attack us. We just got even with you. Let's leave it at that. And when a nation comes out and starts talking that way, they're basically begging Israel not to attack them. They're you know.
They fired 200.
180 to 200, I guess. I heard different figures depending on what news.
I have the report here. It says 200 rockets there in Tel Aviv.
It says 181 Iranian missiles. So they had missiles, rockets. They had a variation of things.
And so they killed several people there in Tel Aviv. I guess they went some hit in Tel Aviv. And so...
Well, they had a couple places where some of those were exploded in the air and pieces of shrapnel were raining down on things, and actually somebody got hurt from a piece of one of the missiles fell and hurt someone pretty badly. But the ground was littered with pieces of some of the rockets that were taken out in the air just over the city.
I guess some
pictures
of our
debris
forces...
all over the ground, you could see pieces of it all over the place.
I guess some of our forces actually shot down some of those missiles, too.
Yes, we did. We helped intercept quite a few. I think Israel would have had some very serious damage had it not been for what we did. We had a lot of those ships with some very high-tech stop some of those missiles before they got, because Israel had a lot of real close calls. You could see the they've got three layers of defense, and you could see the Iron Dome catching some of the last minute stuff and trying to think how it works. You've got the arrows of the long range to go after your ballistic missiles. David's sling is kind of a mid-range anti-missile missile. And then the Iron Dome handles the short range rockets and things that come through the other defenses. And there were a lot of things I watched on the internet where the Iron Dome was getting things just up over the city. I mean, you could see it hitting it with just your eyes, watching explosions and stuff falling into the city. So it was close. It was very harrowing for Israel.
All righty. There's a lot of things happening out there. One of the things that, you know, we've been talking about for a while here, lawmakers prepare for a mass casualty event, push constitutional amendment to undermine election integrity and control House vacancies in a national crisis. Now, this is an interesting thing where they want to have, in case Congress gets hit hard and it loses a lot of Congress people, they want to have five people stand by for each congressman that gets lost to be able to pick and choose the one of them to replace it. What kind of sense does that make? And so, as political
tensions... I'm not sure, but it sounds like one of those things. Somebody's thinking of a worst-case scenario, and, okay, how do we maintain if there's absolute destruction and chaos, which, if that ever happens, I think things are pretty much coming to an end.
Well, they're planning on January 6th again this year of having a huge marches in D.C., and it looks like, you know, the communists, the Democrats are saying that if Trump wins the election, They're not going to. It's up to Kamala to certify it, and Kamala is not going to certify it. Jamie Raskin says we will not. We will not be certified. The election will not be certified. They won't allow it. In other words, they're trying to push the kind of a riot.
This right, they're kind of forcing it, but we've got the Supreme Court, and I think if the Supreme Court rules, Kamala will back off, is what I'm thinking, but who knows?
Well, I don't think not necessarily because they want to do away with the Supreme Court. That's a good article here. Constitutional expert warns Supreme Court justice is trying to manipulate the court decisions, and that's Jonathan Turley, who is saying that there's a one of the liberals within the court is leaking things, and they're behind this now. Here recently, the left has been saying they're encouraging Joe Obama before he leaves office. They're encouraging him. They're telling him he can dismantle the Supreme Court. I don't think he's got that kind of
authority. He doesn't have the authority. Plus, he's already mad at them because they were supposed to be out there, according to him, pushing his Bidenomics and talking about him. And they've not only thrown him under the bus, they're ignoring him. And he's really realizing now that the party, everything's Kamala. And he's not getting any credit. They're not pushing his line. And I've read several things where he's been raging at his staff. He's all upset and mad. And I think he's the more they ignore him, the angrier he gets. I don't think he's going to go along with them anymore. I think he's been hurt enough by what's happening that pain will overcome any allegiance he has as we get, you know, election time.
Well, the word has it out there that his wife, especially Biden's wife, is really at odds with Kamala, that she hates Kamala.
Right,
they hate each other.
Which is going to make that, exacerbate that anger and hatred. So I think at the end he's not going to fall in. He's going to be too hurt, too angry, too upset with how they're treating him and his legacy. And that'll be enough to keep him from doing anything stupid.
So he's saying instead of invoking, he had the power to stop this strike. He had the power to stop
right.
this street team, but he
still does.
I know, but he says he's not going to do it. It's like, look, this'll kill Kamala. You have this strike, and the economy goes south. It'll destroy her. It'll lose the election for her. Right. I know
we said the other night, it's not just even lose the election. They made it real clear that for every day there's a strike like this, this biggest strike with all these ports, it'll take 6 days to correct the day that was wrong. So in other words, you know, 7 day period. And what they're saying, if this thing goes on for a month, it's going to take 6 months to get things back to where they were, if possible. Because the longer it goes, it multiplies out. And we're talking about at a time where all these people are going to need cars, they're going to need building materials, wood, metal, glass, windows, you know, flooring, carpets, you name it. We have this huge damage for millions of people. And what he's going to do by letting the unions just run rampant, that union guy is one really sick puppy. He doesn't care. He's basically a gangster. I read some stuff about him. He is all kinds of ties to the mafia and gangsters, and he's being paid almost $1 million a year. He's getting rich and powerful, and he said he doesn't care what happens if his union gets what they want.
Yeah, they want a 50%.
It's going to be scary.
They want a 50% increase. Increase. They want their wages doubled.
They started with an 80% and then no automation. Well, do you know that we have the worst run ports in the world almost, except for a couple of real third world countries, because everybody else has got more automation. They unload and load quicker and easier and cheaper. We are down there with a couple of the worst third world countries as far as our capacity and speed of handling in the ports. So, I mean, we're way behind.
Well, they don't want any robots at all.
They're going to cut their own throat, because if they go for that, the business has got to automate to keep in, competition with the rest of the world. And when your ports are the worst in the world, you've got to do something to upgrade. So we're putting ourselves, this nation is, we've talked about it before, kind of committing a suicide. We're doing some of the dumbest things possible.
Well, it is because, Joe, see, those dock workers make very good money. Some of those people are making $50 an hour, Joe, or more. Now, Joe, it's the inflation. What they're saying, it's the inflation that, yeah, we're making 50 bucks an hour, but now our dollars are only worth 25.
Right.
And we're falling behind every year. We're falling behind. Now, whose fault is it due to the inflation, Joe?
The Biden administration, which would be Biden and Kamala Harris, caused this inflation with this huge government spending that they've done, with the rules and regulations they've imposed, and all of the paying their cronies. We're putting all this money into Green New Deal that's not working. And there was another article.
What do you mean it's not working? All those electric cars are really on fire.
Yeah,
I mean,
Florida officials are warning fires after electric vehicles, exposure to salt water. And they're telling people, get your cars, if it hasn't caught fire yet, get it out of the way of the house. Get it, far away, 50, 100 feet at least away, because you've had a lot of fires that are in garages burning down houses that survived the hurricane. They're now going by fire. And on top of that, there's a big urgent recall. 200,000 hybrid SUVs that can catch fire and explode with the ignition off. The recall is for Jeep. For 200,000 of their plug-in SUVs, because vehicles are catching fire. They told people to park them outside, get them away from your garage, get them out, leave them in the street. And then they haven't got the fix done yet, so they said don't bring them into the dealerships, because they're worried they're going to burn down the dealerships. So
I have never seen
getting really weird.
I've never seen an electric Jeep. I've never seen one. I mean,
that's what the article. I didn't know they had them either. Of course, I wasn't car shopping or anything, so I'm not a. It said the recall applies to 2020 to 2024 models of Wrangler 4XE and the 2022 through 24 models of Grand Cherokee 4XE. And it's the London Daily Mail.
Well,
the recall primarily affects owners in the U.S., where most of the vehicles are recalled. There are a few in Canada, there's a few in Mexico, but mostly all of the 200,000 are in the USA.
Jeez, I wonder how many altogether there are out there, because, I mean, every now and then I'll run across an electric car, but not that often. I don't see that many of them. But that's an amazing. Of course, it's nowadays it's hard to tell too. But I know that I don't want one. I don't want one. And so there you go. We're coming up to that break, and there's and something that's used in making those electric cars. What is it, Joe? What
lithium
is it?
Lithium batteries. Lithium.
You know what? Speaking, we're going to be taking right after the break. We're going to take a look about controlling the weather. There's some things that've been happening for a long time. We reported on a couple times, and maybe we should go back and report again. You're going back. All the way back, like in the 50s and 60s, where they had programs trying to control the weather. But they've made a lot of progress on that. And we're going to take a look at what had to do with this latest hurricane and people and lithium mines. There's something going on down in North Carolina.
Yeah. So, right after, too, else we got on this union strike we got to tell people about, too.
All right, so we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, and then we'll hear the commentary, too, by Style. Be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.